Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Golfers are in Augusta to compete for the coveted jacket, and DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you 100-to-1 odds on the golfer of your choice to finish in the top 10. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any golfer from this week's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer you choose finishes in the top 10 of this weekend's tournament. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, I teased at the end of quarter number one that we had an interesting topic. Quick background on this. We had last week, you sat in for Ross, you and Andy, and we had the topic of, I asked you and Andy the question, if you got to attend spring practice, which nobody is able to do that, but if you were, what were the things that you'd be looking for? And we had our one segment, and we barely even scratched the surface of conversations. So I decided, let's bring that back. Let's talk about that, not just in one segment, but for the balance of the show, because there's so much to talk about here. And I want to start with the topic we finished with last week in bringing this up, which was the running back room, where I said I want to watch running back because I want to see how they divvy up the carries. Give us again what your response was and why, because I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, my initial response, and this would be, you know, if I'm watching practice, this would be the one out of the five guys at running back I would watch is Devin Ford. And my thought was, what is his body language like? Is he embracing this competition? Is he a little bit bummed out because his path got a little bit more crowded to touches? And I don't know what the answer to that is, but to me, I mean, he is the biggest variable, the biggest wild card of this five-man rotation. You can't really blame Penn State, especially after the year that they had at the running back position last year. You can't blame Penn State for bringing in another veteran body to kind of feed into that rotation. You also know that the five-man rotation is kind of how most college programs go about this. In a lot of cases, you know, even when Penn State had a lot of bodies, you had a freshman or two, a true freshman or two, who you could kind of say, okay, they're probably low man on the totem pole. The interesting thing with this combination is I don't think you can really definitively say who the low man on the bottom is, because, you know, Kaziah Holmes showed a little bit of promise last year as a freshman. Kevon Lee showed a little bit of promise last year as a freshman. You can't take anything 1 through 5 for granted. And I think that's, you know, maybe something that let's see how Devin Ford responds to that.
That is, as we said, I was more general, the macro look at it, at all five. But I think your point about Devin Ford is really good. And anyone who's been a listener of this show knows I'm a big Devin Ford guy. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. And your point about Holmes and Lee is very interesting. You're right. They would have been at the bottom of the totem pole trying to work their way up, except for what happened last season where they had to be the top. And especially Kevon Lee really showed he might be capable of being that number one guy and right away.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. And I jotted down another observation that ties right into this is Kevon Lee, his development from a physical standpoint is something else I would be watching on that running back depth chart. He made the most of his opportunity last year without a doubt. I think if Penn State could have had its way here, they would have allowed Kevon Lee to develop more from a, especially in the weight room and with speed training. He got the job done while still showing that he's miles away from his peak. And by that, I mean, I think he's a big-bodied running back. You don't expect him to be a burner. But I think Dwight Gault, I'm sure, has worked on his foot speed, his, you know, just speed in general, just be a little bit more twitchy, a little bit more explosive than he showed last year. And if he's able to do those things, in addition to showing that he's got a good idea of how to run the football, he can be a special guy. But, I mean, if he hasn't come a long, long way since last year, it'll be interesting to see where he fits into that competition.
That's the other part of this to remember, that not only was there the shortened season last year and the interruption in fall practice, but they didn't have the spring practice last year. And I can't remember if Holmes and Lee came in early last year, but if they did, they still didn't have the advantage of a spring practice and the work from Dwight Gault and molding them physically. So it is going to be very interesting to see. The other thing that I wondered about with Lovett coming in, first of all, I question a little bit his decision. Here's a guy who's a pretty good player, and I'm not sure Penn State fans realize how good he has been at Baylor, but he chooses to come to a school not with this great requirement at running back. It's already a crowded room. How do the rest of the players respond to Lovett showing up?
This is another thing where, in theory, and the culture that Penn State's creating, all these running backs should embrace the competition side of it and should remain confident in themselves that they can still carve out their place. But at the same time, you know, this is a touchy situation, I guess, where you bring in a senior who you don't bring this guy in to be the tail end of the depth chart. You bring this guy in as a legitimate competitor for a high spot on in the rotation, so that he is a threat to Kevon Lee. He is a threat to Devin Ford. To some extent, he's a threat to Noah Kane. Like, it's you're not going to be handed anything. You get healthy, and you have to earn that number one job, which we talked about this point before. James Franklin, I believe, said, you know, who is going to just defer that number one job to Noah Kane, and who's going to go out and try to take it from him? John Lovett seems like a guy who's going to go out and try to take it from him.
Exactly. And remember, Noah Kane hurt in the first series of the first game. Do we know what he's going to look like when he gets back on the field? Do we know the extent of the injury, and will he be 100%? A lot of things to watch there. Very interesting, Dustin. Let's move on to another topic, and this one is really fascinating to me. Third offensive coordinator in 3 years. We all know the story. Kirk Ciarca gone after 1 year. Didn't match what James Franklin was looking for. And it really brings up this question. Now it's Yursich. How much of the offense is Mike Yursich? How much is James Franklin just going to defer to Yursich? Or is it going to be the other way around? A real fascinating dynamic there, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. And there's going to be compromise. You don't make the move that James Franklin made by getting rid of Kirk Ciarca after 1 year and going out and making a big name hire without ceding some of that control to the guy that you went out and hired. At the same time, you know, a head coach's influence and his preferences and his building blocks are often the only thing that remains in this kind of musical chairs world of assistant coaches. Coaches are coming and they're going, and coordinators are coming and going and taking bigger jobs and better jobs. And it's more crazy now, I think, than probably ever before. So you as a head coach, your foundations have to remain when the faces change on your coaching staff. All that being said, I think Mike Yursich is going to have a little bit more say over some of these things than others. And where it gets really interesting is, I think, in the philosophy of what you're looking for in certain players, quarterback in particular. You know, Mike Yursich has a history of working with big, strong-armed guys who push the ball down the field and all that. was that part of, you know, Mike Gundy's philosophy at Oklahoma State, that he did he bend towards that philosophy? That I don't really know the answer to that, but I think you're going to see a lot of middle ground, I believe. But I do think, and you've seen it the past couple quarterback commits, you know, the idea of taking, let's say, a Taquan Roberson, who's 5'10", 5'11", you know, 195 pounds, not a real definitive strength when it comes to, you know, power in his arm, you know, physically, he's not necessarily just a runner. These tweener type guys, are we moving beyond them, is an interesting question that kind of ties into this too.
And, you know, I want to get back to that on the quarterback question, but before that, sticking with Franklin, Yursich, deferring, who's deferring to who, I think back to, remember when James Franklin early on wasn't happy with his offense and brought in Joe Moorhead. Now, there wasn't the same fanfare as there is now with Yursich. Moorhead didn't have that kind of name value that Yursich currently does. But it was pretty obvious, as you saw it, Joe Moorhead, his idea of an offense is what James Franklin was looking for. So you got the feeling he brought in Joe Moorhead and said, okay, Joe, go do your thing, because what your thing is matches what I'm looking for. You get the feeling that that's what's happening here. Do you think I'm on track? It's like, Mike Yursich, I like what you do. Go do it.
I don't think, you make that move without some part of that too. And it just happens that what Mike Yursich has shown that he wants to do isn't what Joe Moorhead showed that he wanted to do. And it might just be the evolution of James Franklin is part of this too. Maybe your idea of putting up points has evolved since Joe Moorhead got here. I think you've had guys who tried to carry on the Joe Moorhead philosophy and kind of come up short of that. And I think maybe this is just his idea, or maybe it's just saying, hey, listen, Mike Yursich is an unbelievable, a talented play caller. Let's, maybe we can work together on the tenets of the offense, but I want this guy on board. Let's marry these concepts together and see what happens.
And it's not necessarily every detail of the offense has to be the same or even similar, but there, you get the feeling there's this overriding explosive offense. Big plays, explosive plays is what James Franklin's looking for. And if you saw what was going on last year with Kirk Shiraka's offense, even as they won the last four games, explosive was not a word you would use to describe that offense. And, you know, maybe Shiraka was just doing what he had to do to win games, but you get the feeling that's not what James Franklin pictured for a Penn State offense. Dustin, we are going to pick up this conversation in quarter number three, so be sure to stick with us.
Golfers are in Augusta to compete for the coveted jacket, and DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.